Today on More to Life, family drama. Is your nuclear or extended family life causing you to feel frustrated and fed up? Let us help you rewrite the script on your family drama. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled Family Drama. Is your nuclear or extended family causing you to feel frustrated for some reason? Fed up with the conflicts you're having to deal with? Just generally irritated? Well, we want to help you rewrite the script on your family drama and find that happy ending today. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
There is so much that can cause family drama. You know, we can be expected to stay in the roles that we were in when we were children or when our children were children. And we can't actually do that because we've grown and developed and we're in another stage in our life. But people put expectations on us that they have to, you know, we have to follow that way. And it can be difficult. It can be difficult seasons of life that we're going through. And then other people are in conflict with us about something going on in the midst of that. It can be things that happened during the course of our lives that still hurt. Whatever it is. Are you experiencing some kind of family conflict? Are you fussing with your spouse or your young or adult kids? Are you feuding with your parents or your siblings? Are other family members fighting and making you feel caught in between or trying to make you choose sides? Whatever the family drama you're starring is, we can help you rewrite the script. Whether that's big drama where things explode whenever you get together, whenever there's a holiday or an event, or it's that underlying current that just makes you wish you had the family you longed for to work out those things that give you stress in your family life. Big or small, we are here for you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, in preparing for today's show, we came across a really interesting article about a recent study that was done by Dr. Lucy Blake from the Center for Family Research at the University of Cambridge in England. She surveyed 807 people from the United Kingdom, the United States, Canada, and Australia, who identified themselves as being estranged from their family, or at least in whole or in part. And some of the reasons that this study found that people were estranged in whole or in part from their families were, number one, mismatched expectations about family roles and relationships, a clash of personality or values, parental favoritism, a traumatic event. Those are common reasons that people feel like they can't interact or that their interactions with certain family members are complicated. And then, you know, you get into this at times where people actually have withdrawn entirely from their families for those same kinds of reasons. And those can go on for years. The same study found that estrangements between respondents and their fathers had gone on for the longest, averaging about 8 years. And estrangements between respondents and their daughters lasted shorter, averaging about 4 years. But it's still extraordinarily painful. And, you know, we're not just talking about estrangement, you know, where you don't have anything to do with that particular family member.
No, in fact, we'd like to help you not ever reach that point, if we can.
Right, but any family conflict can get to that point, and it becomes, you know, it threatens to get to that place. And so we want to help you deal with all those family conflicts, whether under your own roof or in your extended family. We want to help you if you're fussing with your spouse or young or adult kids, feuding with your parents or siblings, or getting in between other family members who are fussing and fighting and you're not sure how to be that peacemaker. Let us help you rewrite the family drama that you're starring in. 877-573-7825.
You know, there was a time, certainly throughout history, where you were part of a family, part of a clan, if you were, would. And it was unheard of to move outside that clan. It was unheard of to ever contradict the grown people in that clan and that family. You just stuck together because that was part of survival. Now, that is not really the case. Children are leaving the house, leaving the environment of the family, even moving to other states, other countries, more than ever. Or we have the reverse right now with everything that's going on in the world. They come home as adult children, and suddenly you're dealing with the conflict there. It is not a given that if you're born into a family, made part of a family, that that's just going to work out forever because there are these solid rules. Now people are actually their own independent selves and want to be, and that's us even as parents, right? But how do you work it out? How do you make sure that you're still loving each other, caring for each other, relating well to each other the way we all want to when conflict rears its ugly head? Let us help you figure that out today. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And tell us whether your nuclear or extended family life is causing you to feel frustrated, fed up, or otherwise just tired of dealing with the drama. 877-573-7825. You can also, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, send your questions to us via email. That address is questions@moretolife.com. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering what that is, and why you should care for that matter, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections over the course of about 5 years that looked at how we could discern God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation, especially his design of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that families are supposed to be schools of love and virtue. One of the lessons we all need to learn in the family school of love is how to manage conflict and tension and differences of opinion gracefully. As Catholic families especially, we need to make sure that we're not just doing whatever comes naturally when it comes to handling family conflict. Instead, we need to make sure that, number one, we invite God to be the mediator in our disagreements. Two, ask God to help us be our best selves and do what's necessary to bring out the best in the other person or people. And three, work hard to listen to each other rather than just react to each other.
You know, especially as Christians, one of the most important things we can do is get into the habit of praying before we start a difficult conversation, especially with family members. Now, ideally, you know, we should be able to pray with our family members by saying something like, you know, Lord, you know, each of us knows what we want, but help us discern what you want us to do, and help us take care of each other while we figure it out. But, you know, even if you don't think the other family member would be receptive to praying with you, we can still say a similar prayer to ourselves. We need to remember to invite God into every part of both nuclear and extended family life. asking him to teach us to be the family that he wants us to be. That's especially true where conflict is concerned. You know, family life becomes the school of love and virtue the church says it's supposed to be, not by us trying to figure out how to be loving in the face of conflict all on our own, but by humbly admitting that we really don't know what we're doing and asking God to help us be the family he wants us to be every day, especially in the face of the conflict we experience in our family lives. So give us a call, 877-573-7825. Are you experiencing family conflict? Maybe you're fussing with your spouse or your young or adult kids. Maybe you're feuding with your parents or siblings. Maybe other families are fighting with each other and making you feel caught in the middle. We're asking you to choose sides. Whatever family drama you happen to be starring in, we want to help you rewrite the script and find that happy ending and the solutions you're seeking. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you all the members of our families. And we give them to you and we ask you to show us how to see them through your eyes. So that, especially when we're dealing with conflicts or disagreements or difficulties caused by mismatched expectations or clashes of personalities or challenges we've gone through individually or as a family, that we are able to respond to all of those difficulties in ways that enable us to be our best selves and bring out the best in those family members too. Lord, in all of those instances, we all know what we want, and our family members know what they want. Help us, though, to discern together what you want, and help us to take care of each other while we do it, so that we can be your families and reflect your love in all of our words and actions. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Family Drama, as we talk about those conflicts in our nuclear or extended families that drive us crazy and that we're not sure how to respond to. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Denise, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas. Oh, I think we just lost Denise. Okay, well, let us take an email from one of our listeners who got to us through questions at moretoliferadio.com. She said, your topic today is very interesting to me. This is from Shana, I'm sorry, who's listening in Nebraska. She said, I came from a family where I was safest emotionally if I just sat down and shut up. I'm realizing now, as an adult in my 40s, that it is hobbling me. I read about following our dreams. I basically have none besides being safe and surviving. I always thought this was normal until I discovered your show. How should I begin to unearth who I am and who I'm supposed to be? I'm still afraid when I think of what my parents' expectations would be of me. How do I discover who I am in Christ? And that's Shana in Nebraska.
Well, thank you so much for the question, Shana. So I'm sorry that you've gone through those horrible experiences in your family of origin. The most important thing, I think, is going to be seeking some help for getting someone to walk with you through this, a spiritual director, and I would suggest a faithful pastoral counselor who could work with you, because there's a lot of wounding that needs to be healed here. But broadly speaking, what you need to realize is that the things that you learned to deal with conflict in the past made sense then, but they don't make sense in the life that you live now. You know, the things we learn to deal with the challenges that we face in our families of origin, you know, we tend to stick to those things as we enter into adulthood. But we forget that we're living in a different situation and we're different people now. You know, we're not 5 and 6 and 7 years old. We're not dependent on mom and dad's good graces to survive. We are people who, we are God's children who have his grace and ability to act in ways that allow us to make a positive difference in situations. We are strong people in our own right. And you might not feel that way, but the fact that you are, you know, in your 40s and you're living and surviving
right.
and thriving
means you know,
shows
you
that
use
there's a lot of strength.
Resilience there, even though it doesn't feel like resilience to you.
So the most important thing at this point, Shana, is to realize that the rules you learned for dealing with conflict in your past when you were a child don't apply anymore. And it's important to start asking yourself, how would I, as an adult, as a grown-up, deal with these kinds of challenges? And the more you're able to really identify with your adult self, the more effective you're going to be in learning who God is calling you to be at this point in your life.
And in terms of developing hopes and dreams and all of those things that you're saying, you just stifled yourself all of these years because you were taught that that's how you could be emotionally safest. It's first of all, of course, start to really bring this to God. If you found our show, if you're being inspired to figure this all out for yourself and discover who you are, well, your Creator is the first person to go to. You know, he's your Creator. He's your Redeemer. So begin bringing this to God. And I would say doing it in a prayer journal, writing it out every day, whatever's going through your mind, whatever your feelings are, and just saying, Lord, I want to be who you want me to be. Help me discover who that is. Give me the courage to do this. And write down all of those things in a letter to him every single day and really be listening with what comes out on the paper as well as what comes into your heart as you're doing all this, to whatever the promptings of the Holy Spirit really are. And also make a list every day of what you enjoyed at the end of the day. What did you enjoy? What went well? What did you like about yourself? What made you feel proud of yourself that day? And if you do those two things, morning and night, spending some time with God, you'll begin to see and feel those promptings of the Holy Spirit that will begin to lead you step by step into the person that he's created you to be. But again, that extra help with somebody who can really spiritually and psychologically help you heal those past wounds and voices in your head, that will be so fruitful.
So, Shana, if you'd like some personalized support with this, I would really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can hook you up with a faithful Catholic counselor who can really help you connect with God's grace and begin to heal some of those deeper wounds. Thanks so much for the question. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Family Drama, as we talk about the conflicts in your nuclear or extended family that cause you to feel frustrated, fed up, and just otherwise flummoxed. Give us a call. The number again is 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popchak, who's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. We'll be sharing some insights on dealing with family drama. Stick around for that and more of your calls in just a minute.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
Listen to EWTN, you know, listen to the Catholic stations, but turn away that mainstream media, that mainstream news. It's all nonsense.
I come from a family of 16. I was really encouraged when I was listening to your radio station, and I just think everything you were saying was absolutely true, and that there's still hope out there.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, family drama. Is the conflict under your own roof or in your extended family driving you crazy? Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on the practical applications of the theology of the body, and he's also a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, you know, when we're dealing with family members who are either treating us or other family members poorly, it can be not just frustrating, but make us feel kind of stuck. But you have some suggestions that you share with clients that can help us see things in a different light and maybe identify some ways forward.
Yeah, you know, what I always try to explain to people is that family systems, whether we mean them to be or not, are really designed by God to be need-meeting machines, right? That's really what family is all about at the end of the day, you know, just evolutionarily, right? It's a system that allows all the people in it to have the best chance of having their needs met by everyone else in that system and vice versa, right? And when you look at family that way, as opposed to just a bunch of relationships or a thing that I'm obliged to do, right, what you start to see is that bad behavior by one member of that system isn't actually just a reflection of a flaw within that person. It's a reflection instead of a deficit within the entire family system. So I think a great example of this is, you know, if my child is seeming to be, you know, really anxious, for instance, about, you know, food or about, you know, certain responsibilities, right? There's a way to view that as just a frustrating behavior in the child. But then I'm combing over parenting books. I'm looking at YouTube videos that don't necessarily apply to my specific kid. And I'm trying to figure out what to do. And I don't really feel empowered to do anything. But if I instead look at that kid's behavior as symptomatic of a deficit within the system, I might then say, okay, well, if my kid is anxious about A, B, and C, what does that say about how we as a family handle that kind of stressor? And if I look at how we as a family handle that kind of stressor without even necessarily focusing on the kid's behavior, 9 times out of 10, that kid and their behavior will just kind of fall into place organically. Right. And likewise, if my husband or my sister or my parent is combative or doesn't take responsibility for their actions or anything else, if we can view their poor behavior in light of our family system setting certain rules and expectations for everybody in order to get their needs met, we can assume that their bad behavior, too, is because they have learned behaviorally over time that this is the best way to get certain needs met. And if I want to prohibit that bad behavior, it behooves me then to figure out how we as a system, as a family system, can reward them getting their need met in a healthier and more effective way and can discourage them getting their need met in a less effective, less desirable way. So, for instance, if the way they meet their needs is by being really angry and combative all the time, can we as a family system learn to have greater assertiveness and greater boundaries that they're not able to get away with that anymore? And when they ask us for things respectfully, can we begin to reward that to show that this is the effective way to get that need met? I think it's just a much more kind of effective and concrete and self-empowering way of looking at issues to kind of see them in this family systemic context.
Well, it gives us a way to start reclaiming what our power might be, as opposed to just saying that part of the family is broken or that person in the family is broken. What you're really suggesting here is that when we're seeing this offensive behavior in other people, if we can step back and say, you know, what's the need or intention that they're trying to meet? And in general, how does our family do with meeting those needs or intentions? Then we can kind of work together to figure out better ways as a group to really look at those kinds of things.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and again, sometimes the person who's doing the bad behavior doesn't even necessarily know what their need is, right? Not to say that they're always super conscious of it, but their behavior kind of tells us what they need, right? A very angry person who's mean all the time is telling me with his behavior that he needs greater assertiveness and boundaries, whether he believes it or not, right? A kid who's freaking out about the possibility of failing an exam and is anxious all the time about it is telling me with their behavior that we as a family need to do better with tension and coping mechanisms, whether or not the kid would be able to identify that. You know, we have to look at these behaviors as like the symbol in an ecosystem that, you know, if the mushrooms are unhealthy, therefore there's something overall a flaw with the entire woods, not just hyperfixing on the mushrooms, you know?
Yeah. Jacob, thank you so much for those insights. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to CatholicCounselors.com and learn about all the ways that we can support individuals, couples, and families in having healthier, holier lives. That's CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825. Is the family living under your roof or your extended family causing you to feel frustrated, fed up, flummoxed because of the conflict that you're having to deal with? We want to help you rewrite the script on your family drama and find a happy ending by seeking the graceful solutions that God has for you. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We listen to all kinds of things, as the Pope says. The radio, the TV, we listen to our phones, all kinds of other messages. But are we silencing ourselves enough that we may listen for God? The other thing we need to do is continue to educate ourselves on the faith. Are we listening to Catholic programming on a regular basis? Are we attending really good, healthy, faith-filled conferences to learn more from those who may be scripture scholars or apologists, or maybe just a good talk from a spiritual leader, or maybe watching a good video of a wonderful priest such as a Father John Ricardo or a Bishop Barron or someone else? So continue to, as Father John Harden used to say, educate, educate, educate yourself in the Catholic faith.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Men in general, and fathers in particular, put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves. We know that we're meant to lead our wife and children to God. However, many of us weren't raised in homes where this mission was modeled for us. We intuitively know we don't have the first idea how to become the men God wants us to be or how to lead our families to Christ, and it terrifies us. Unfortunately, we often try to cover our ignorance and the fear of our incompetence by setting ourselves up as angry, part-time pagan deities of our household, commanding obedience from everyone around us. But if we fall prey to this temptation, any rebellion we experience on the part of our kids isn't defiance against us. It's actually obedience to the impulse God has created in every one of his children to resist bowing down to any god but him. To learn more about commanding healthy authority as a father, check out my book, Be Dadattitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And, you know, May is the month of the Blessed Mother in the Church. Pope St. John Paul II said, in accord with the long-standing tradition of devotion, parishes and families continue to make the month of May a Marian month, celebrating it with devout liturgical, catechetical, and pastoral initiatives. Join us in this devotion to the Blessed Mother with rosaries, books for children and adults, nativity sets, prayer cards, statues, and more, available now at EWTNRC.com. That's EWTNRC.com to help you celebrate this special month for the Blessed Mother. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about family drama today on More to Life. Are you experiencing family conflict, either under your own roof or in your extended family? Maybe you're fussing with your spouse or young or adult kids. Maybe you're feuding with your parents or siblings. Perhaps other family members are fighting with each other and making you feel caught in between. We're trying to make you choose sides. Whatever family drama you're starring in, we want to help you rewrite the script and find the grace-filled solutions that you're seeking. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Mary, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you? Mary, Missouri, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What can we do for you, Mary?
Hi, good morning. It's funny, you started off with this being the month of Mary, so maybe it's perfect timing.
There you go.
Right, because it's a situation that I think, unfortunately, I think it's rooted with my mom, but it's affecting all of her children. And I seem to be the one that everyone's leaning on to say, you got to handle it. So basically, my mom has two homes. One of them is full of possessions that she has not used in 18 years. Part of it's because she had planned to go there with my dad, and then he passed, and then it just never. And most of the people, the siblings that could help, chose not to because they just want to throw everything out and disregard any meaning of it to her. And granted, it is extremely overwhelming. It's, you know, we had a large family. There's a lot of stuff. She gets hurt when she offers us something and we don't want it. I don't know how to, she's near, you know, she's in the late years of her life in the 90s. And I'm trying to think of a way where I can work with her and my siblings and help her let go of these items that are starting to overwhelm, not just.
So, Mary, can I ask, are these items, you know, is her house becoming unsafe because of so many things in there, or, you know, is it, yeah.
It's not like hoarding. It's more like just lifetime possessions that are boxed up and they need to be moved on because people can't, you know, nothing can be done with the home at this point.
Are you trying to sell it, or are you afraid as a group of her children what it's going to be like when she passes to have to deal with it? What's your immediate concern in this, Mary?
I think ultimately it would be nice to be able to either, it has to be fixed up. There's some repairs that were started and never completed. So the idea is to move the stuff out so the repairs could be done so that we could either, one, let her live there safely and have some time in it, or two, sell it.
And have you approached her on this? Have you said, hey, Mom, we'd love to fix this up so you can spend some time there or get money out of it if you don't want to spend time there and sell it for you? Have you said this to her directly? And if so, what's her reaction?
Yes, I have said it. And her reaction is, I know I need to take care of it. So she wants to do it by herself. But like I said, she's in her 90s, and I don't feel comfortable leaving her in this unsafe place. So I feel like if I could go and say, here's what we've got to deal with, we have to let some of this go. We can't. And then I don't even want to, sounds awful, but necessarily, I don't know. I don't have enough days in my life to look at every single item.
Mary, I think that you're, you know, your heart's in the right place, but I think that you're giving away too much of your own power in the situation. I think that, you know, as a family, you need to decide whether this needs to be done or not. You know, is there a legitimate reason to kind of go in and fix certain things or handle certain things? And if you all decide that this is something that needs to happen, it's something you have to kind of present to your mom as this needs to happen, and we could do it this way or we could do it that way. And when she says, well, no, I'm going to need to take care of that, it's like, Mom, we love you, but you're not going to be able to take care of that. We need to do it either this way or that way.
Let's come up with a plan that you're comfortable with in these two ways we can handle it.
But the one thing I'm going to qualify about that is there's nothing she's going to be comfortable with.
Not completely, but what I'm saying is she'll have to make a choice out of those, which one she's more comfortable with. Because at this point, you're up against the fact that when you're doing this, you are saying to her, you have to give up more stuff, Mom. You're in the ends of your days. Everything about her life right now is about last things and about dealing with giving things up. So she's going to need to be pushed a little bit by you saying, this is how we have to do this.
She's probably not going to like whatever you suggest, and you're going to have to pick for her, ultimately. You don't do that lightly, you know, right? So if there are serious reasons, for example, there are repairs to the house that need to be done, or, you know, those that's where you can kind of be more assertive. And instead of asking her permission to do those things, say, these need to be done, and here are the options for us to do them. If you can't pick, Mom, we'll have to pick one for you. But the thing needs to be done for the safety of the house and for your well-being, and we love you, and so we just have to pick one of these things. It's not a matter of you getting her permission to get rid of each item or to go through everything. It's really going to have to be more on your discretion to be a little bit more pushy about this. So you have to decide how important it is to be that assertive, you know, and be generous in that regard. If something doesn't really need to be done, then you can kind of let her have that safety. But otherwise, you're not going to really get her permission to do anything. She's stuck in a very anxious place. And so unless you kind of say, okay, Mom, this is what we have to do. Here are the two options that we can use. If you can't pick one, we'll pick one for you. That's really the only way through this.
Now, it may or may not be fine with you to be the spokesperson for all of your siblings, but you're taking a lot on yourself. You're allowing everyone else to place a lot on you, Mary. And it's really okay for you to say, hey, guys, I'm not the only child here. You're all her children, too. So if we're going to come up with a plan here, I need all of us to get on a Zoom call and talk to Mom about it together. And stop taking on, you know, the weight of the entire family. Because I will guarantee you, Mary, and so many of our EWTN listeners who have called in over the years will tell you as well, if you take this all on yourself and something goes missing or somebody gets upset or Mom is upset, all the other siblings will turn on you. They're hiding behind you, Mary. So you want a consensus on this. Unless this is something that really, really, really needs to be done now, you also need to pray about, is this worth making Mom upset? If she is in her 90s, let's say she has another 10 years left, can the house sit this way for 10 years since it's not her primary residence? Can you just allow this to happen or go in once a week and clean out one box over time? But is there a way to do this without causing some kind of major crisis? And that's something to pray about and talk with your siblings about.
All right, Mary, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled Family Drama. Are you experiencing family conflict, either under your own roof or with your extended family? Let us help you find those grace-filled solutions to the family drama in your life. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
You know, when we talk about peacemakers, automatically people think we're talking about smoother overers or conflict avoiders. And that's not what a peacemaker is at all, as we talk regularly on the program. St. Augustine says that peace is the tranquility that results from right order. So we need to make sure that we are calling the situation to order and that everything we do is ordered to making things right. That's what being a peacemaker is. Not just somebody who avoids conflict or smooths things over, but rather somebody who is, in all things, working to create the right and healthy order that should exist in the situation or in the relationship. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about family drama. By the way, before we head out, I just want to share one more thing. We need to send out some congratulations to two more members of the EWTN radio family. WJPN in Dumfries, Virginia is celebrating 8 years with EWTN, and KEFA in Wenatchee, Wisconsin, excuse me,
Washington.
Wenatchee, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Easy for you to say. Mark's 10 years with us.
So congratulations are being sent out to David Morales at St. John Paul the Great Catholic High School in Virginia and Michael Drollman and Cor Christi Academy in Washington from all your friends here at EWTN.
And we will be right back with your questions about family drama after this.
One of the reasons we should go to Mass is because it is the food of the saints that we receive. And for the saints, they understood rightly that the time after Holy Communion, that those moments are the most precious moments of our lives.
The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, live from the EWTN Chapel, every morning, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Brought to you by the nonprofit, Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. That is setonhome.org.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show today is titled Family Drama, as we talk about dealing with conflict either under our roof or in our extended families. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Lavaris, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Lavaris, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Oh, good morning, guys. I listen to you every morning, and it's a true blessing. Thank you, guys, for what you
thank
do.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for
That's
tuning
so
in.
So kind. Thank you.
Great. I'm calling in this morning to gather some guidance on some extended family issues relative to my mother and my father. I know we're limited on time, so I'll try to, summarize as best as possible. My parents had me when they were very young, I think 17 and 18 years old. Grandparents raised me for a while. They got me when I was 5 or 6. And so, did their best to raise me. Our household always had a good roof over my head, lived in great communities. But as far as the love went, that wasn't necessarily there all the time. And so over the years, I became a very independent child, always kind of looked out for myself and always knew I needed to look out for myself. I think that was just the, got married in 2009, sorry, to a Catholic young lady. Seven years ago, converted to the Christian, really embraced a lot of the family aspects to it and the values. And so during those times of RCIA and just attending Catholic Church with my wife over the years, being around her family, I just saw a different version of what, family would look like and how, I should treat, my wife and how I should treat, my future children. And a lot of that was essentially against what I saw with my parents. And so, we've had several bouts of battles referencing things they've done that I've called them out on. And essentially 2 years ago, we had a big falling out when we visited them in Georgia. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina originally, but we drove in 18 hours with the 4 kids to visit them. And the Friday of the last day we were there, my mom got upset with us because we left the house to go to the beach with all the kids. And apparently we left it in a mess. I got confronted by my dad about how my mother was feeling about the house. And some other things were brought up. And I just kind of lost it, to be honest with you. I got really upset because at that point I felt like, we made it a point to come visit you all. And, here this week you promised to do all these things with the kids and with us, but nothing was never done. And so it brought me back to my childhood relative to promises that were made and things that were never done. And then I felt like that was being, put on my family at that point. And so I haven't talked to my parents about 2.5 years. I've forgiven them. But the difficult part for me right now is allowing them back into my life because I've created a boundary to not, get hurt, to no longer get hurt, and to not allow my children to be hurt along with my wife. And so I'm just, based on things I hear, in church every week and listening to you all, I'm just struggling, with regards to kind of where I should go with this. Because
so have you had any contact with them at all in the last 2 years, or have they tried to reach out to you?
Text messages, my mom, I reach out to her. I reached out to her on her birthday here recently and Mother's Day, and I've been doing that, over the years, but I've had no contact with my dad. This isn't anything unusual. He was always one of those dads that if you didn't do exactly what he said, he would just won't talk. He wouldn't talk to you at all. That's just how he is.
And so he's freezing you out entirely?
Yeah. And that's not the first time. This is probably like the seventh, eighth, or ninth, or tenth time. So
no, I get it. All right. So in terms of, in terms of what kind of boundaries do you need to set and how do you need to kind of look at this? Generally speaking, all right, I talk about this in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. Boundaries ideally aren't meant to cut people off unless they're so toxic we can't be around them at all. And then there are some cases where that's true. They're meant to give people a healthier way to deal with me. And then it's up to them whether they want to do that or not, right? So the metaphor here is if you got somebody who's trying to climb in your rear window of your house all the time, what you do is you lock the back window, right? And then if they complain about it, you can say, well, you can come in the front door like any other human being. Just do that instead. And if they decide to stand in the back door and cry about you not letting them climb in the back window anymore, that's on them. You've opened the door, the front door, and said, come in through the front door, anytime you want. You just can't climb through the window anymore. So that's what a boundary is like. It's like you give that person a healthy way to deal with you, and then you let them choose whether that's what they want to do or not. You know, it's very much like what Jesus did with the rich young man, where he said, where the rich young man comes and says, you know, I follow the commandments, but I want more. And so Jesus says, oh, you know, wonderful. Sell all that you have, give the money to the poor, and come and follow me. And the rich young man goes away sad, and Jesus lets him go because, you know, Jesus was giving him a way to have a deeper relationship with him. But the man chose not to do that. And you know, if the guy came back the next day and said, you know, Lord, I thought about it and I changed my mind and I've sold everything and I want to come and follow you, Jesus would welcome him with open arms, but he also wasn't going to go chasing him down the street. So in the same way here, you have to ask yourself, what are the contexts in which you can deal in healthy ways with your folks? So for example, you know, texting and calling your mom. You know, you might text your dad, you know, and just see how he's doing and how he responds. If he responds in a friendly way, you can continue that texting relationship. Based on how that texting relationship goes, it might be worth giving him a call and seeing how he responds to that call. If that goes well, then you might be able to ask yourself, well, you know, in my past experience, I know that we can handle getting together in these contexts, for example, a public place for a meal. But we can't get together in those contexts safely, for example, me spending a weekend with them, you know, which is just too much. Right. So you take it one step at a time and you say, you know, how close can we be based on the effect we have on each other, right? Because you know, what are those contexts in which we can be our best selves and kind of guarantee that we can come out the other end feeling pretty okay with what happened there? It doesn't have to be perfect, but pretty okay. You know, and you limit your relationship to that. And then when one or the other of you says, you know, we'd like to do more, then you really think in not just about let's throw out all the boundaries now. We're going to go come and live with you for a week, you
know, or leave the kids with them for a week.
Yeah, it would be what's the next step? What's the next small step we could take to make sure that we've navigated this kind of this level of relationship okay?
You know, I think LeVar said it's so beautiful that you were able to see through being with your wife, joining her family, that there is a different and healthier way to do this. And as you said, there are many beautiful things that you've got out of your child. But I want you to understand that as you do this, as you make these boundaries and you work through this baby step by baby step, that you're actually giving a great gift to your own children as well. Because as they see Dad healing from what his childhood was like and putting safe boundaries for them in a way that they can, over time, create a relationship that's safe with their grandparents, that they're not going to be as emotionally manipulated by their grandfather and his way of dealing with things, that they're not necessarily, or they may experience some of the explosiveness at times, but they'll know, hey, Dad showed us a way to do this safely, and they're not expected to just be victimized by any of this. So allowing them to see your emotional and spiritual growth through all of this, and that you're putting these baby steps into place, these boundaries little by little into place, they're going to see how to have those skills in their own life. And you're giving them permission to do that. And I will add one more thing here. I think that it's lovely that you want to have a relationship with them. And it's also lovely that you want the grandchildren, their grandchildren, to have a relationship with them. But don't get caught up in the shoulds of that. We often think, oh, if we can just allow our children to have a relationship with our parents, somehow that's going to heal our inner child, and we're going to show them our wonderful children who are the greatest treasures in the world, and they're just going to become better people and loving people and the parents that I wanted them to be, and I will see them treating my children well, and that will heal stuff for me. It doesn't work that way. First of all, no grandparent should be skipping a generation and saying, I'll be wonderful to my grandchildren, even though I really wasn't very good to my kids and I'm not working on healing my relationship with my adult children. And also, you don't want to put your children in a position where they're ever being cared for by people that you don't trust completely, no matter what their title is.
So, LeVaris, you know, just to sum up here, you know, having boundaries is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We need to have healthy boundaries, but we just need to make sure that those boundaries are ultimately ordered to letting healing happen if God wills it. But not throwing away those boundaries and just kind of saying, well, you know, we're going to go from having all the boundaries to having no boundaries at all. For more advice on this, check out God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. where you can also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice if you feel like you need more guidance on this. Thanks so much for the call, Lamaris. And I don't have time to take the call, but I do want to offer to Junior, who's listening in North Dakota, who is a serial adulterer. Sir, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate your humility. I just need to let you know you are dealing most likely with a sexual addiction, and it's going to be important to get appropriate help. I'd like you to go to sa.org. That's sa.org. Or you can also learn more about our Connected program at catholiccounselors.com. But you're not going to be able to beat this without real help. And I'm grateful that you called in. I'm sorry we didn't have time to take your call, but I did want to give you those resources. Thank you again. And that's all the time we have for today's show. And if you'd like to learn more about ways that we can accompany you in dealing with your family drama, reach out to us at catholiccounselors.com to check out our books and other resources, especially the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a professional Catholic counselor to help you deal with the marriage, family, or personal struggles that you're facing in a graceful way. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. And remember to celebrate the life God wants you to live, because you know what? With God's grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.